I'm Fred McMurray, and I'd like to welcome you to the first episode of Pillars of Franchising for 2024. Let's go.
Pillars of Franchising.
And as Fred said, welcome to the first Pillars of Franchising episode of 2024. I didn't even have anything to drink really on New Year's Eve. So why I stumbled on that, Karen, I have no idea.
It's been a tough week for me. It always is. That first week in January is tough.
Yeah, I don't know. And never is it ever the same or easy. But nonetheless, we have an amazing show for everyone today. We're going to be talking with Jeff Gartner from Hudson Valley Swim, a great model for people who are looking to get out of the corporate grind and become their own boss. But first, we've got some word on the street to talk about, brought to us through Forbes magazine. What do you got, Karen?
Absolutely. You know, it's always a great time, isn't it, at the beginning of the year to look back and say, you know, kind of what worked, what was successful, and then take a look at the new year. And
yeah,
this article
sure.
was really great. It had some great nuggets in it as far as some of the successes, a lot of successes from last year. I think, when you were taking a look at it, I'm like, wow, because I think when we entered last year, I don't know about you, but I was a little apprehensive.
Well, not only did we have interest rates continuing to soar, which made people nervous, we had all the stuff that Jerry always talks about and probably will again with NLRB and the government in terms of joint employership, and we had higher wages, and we had groups striking. It was just unbelievable.
Right. And I think that continued on. And in spite of that, it increased, franchising increased in almost 15,000 units.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes, it is.
But this is why I think small business is so great for America, because even though a greater number are suffering, there are still some that for whatever decisions they've made, they've been able to persevere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's kind of exciting when you think about what franchising brought to the economy. Franchising really did fuel that economic growth.
Yes.
The employment, again, in spite of a lot of the things that went on.
Yes.
And, you know, one thing that the article talked about, it created approximately 254,000 jobs.
That's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's one of the things that we talk a lot about. I think a lot of our show last year, you talk about franchising for new franchise, people are looking at franchising.
Yeah.
Really is a great vehicle for people that are saying, hey, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the corporate grind. I want something different. And I think we saw a lot of that this past year, through some of this growth.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the number one things that they cited on there was work-life balance. And I think what's interesting now, you know, we went through a couple of years where people were working at home, they had all this freedom, and now you see a lot of corporations starting to pull back and request that people work more or all the time in the office. And I think people are like, they got used to having some freedom in their day when they got to work from home. And now they're like, yeah, I don't really want to go back to the office. I don't want somebody controlling when I go to lunch or when I have meetings. And, you know, I think it really gave us a look at how great working for yourself can be.
Absolutely. That flexibility that you just can't get with the corporate jobs. And I think many people were saying, gosh, I didn't realize how much I enjoyed that flexibility until then it was, as you say, taken away.
Yeah.
Story after story of people that are like, oh, now I can't be as flexible. And
yeah.
I need that and I want that.
For sure.
Driving the growth.
Well, I really like that in 2024, I mean, well, let's just, in 2023, I think one of the keys, and we talk about this a lot, the difference between being an entrepreneur and being in franchising, while they're very similar, having the system dialed in for you really helps. And I think what we saw a lot of franchise systems do is help their franchisees dial in the business as costs went up and employment got hard. And I think that's really what helped a lot of these companies continue to grow, attribute to that 15,000 unit growth. And so I think that's where, when you look at a franchise over an independently owned business, those resources can really be crucial for you.
Exactly. Because they're looking at scale. They're looking at those operational models. You know, what can they do? What can they provide to the franchisees? Even if you take a look at like the whole branding, I mean, there's so much that they provide that if you're, and I've been on that entrepreneur side, I've actually started my own company, and it's, I'll tell you, it's really hard.
Yeah.
And it just provides a good ramp on ramps that are much faster and better.
Well, now here we are going into 2024. We're seeing higher interest rates, higher wages, lots of challenges. What are they thinking is going to go on now in 2024?
They're still pretty bullish on growth, which I love. Yeah. And, you know, a couple of the, I guess, contributing factors. One is AI. I mean, I don't know about you, but everyone's talking about AI and everything. Yeah. You know, what's the impact? What's it going to do? And you and I were talking about this, Kristen, I think for emerging brands and, you know, brands have been around for a very long time. This could really positively impact how they set up business, how they run operations. It can actually give emerging brands much more of a competitive advantage.
Sure, absolutely. Well, and I think that's really, as we look at models, and everybody that I talk to who wants to buy a franchise, everybody's really super interested in this semi-absentee or absentee model, right? And I think in a lot of ways where AI is coming in, it's allowing those owners to step out and let the system, let AI, like we've got a lot of things that are all automated, right? And so I'm not sitting there making phone calls all day. I'm not answering the phone all day. A lot of that, and I'm not texting reminders all day. A lot of all that is in the system. It's working for me. So I can worry about my marketing. I can worry about my payroll and strategically where we're going to go next week. Or next month. And so I think that's, you know, a really cool thing that, again, if you are an entrepreneur opening your own business, those systems, while available, aren't readily available.
Exactly. It's the whole, you know, we would talk about working on versus mm-hmm. in. So even if you're you're in the business, you're going to be able to work on your business much more so because of all of this technology, you know, AI. I'm excited to see what's going to happen this next year with AI and all the things that it's going to bring. You know, and I'm going to do the other side. The other side is that even though we have AI, it does not replace the people.
Yes.
Right.
I was hoping you were going to talk about that because you are my people person.
I am indeed. And it's not going to. And those brands that are staying competitive with not only their employees, gotta take a look at, you know, the market, keeping in tune with the customers. And some of that is technology, and it's also that people side.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the really important things that they pointed out in this article was that this is really going to be a customer-centric year. You know, people have choices. But what they're looking for is the experience, an entire experience. They don't want just transactional anymore. They want a relationship business. They want to understand who you are. They like companies that are part of the community. And I think, again, freeing up some of that busy work through AI allows people to get out there and do what we used to call the whole shaking hands and kissing babies.
Right.
And that's a really unique and great way to begin these deeper relationships so that you have a longer term client. You're not just one and done.
Exactly. And, you know, and there's a point that they brought up that I think about a lot. And it's making sure as a franchisee that you're aligned with like how you market your go-to-market strategy locally matches that of the franchisor. And so that's why for those of you that are looking at owning a franchise, really taking a look at that and taking a look at how do they go to market. Does that match your vision? Does mm-hmm. that match where you're comfortable? You know, if it matches like your passion, your heart,
because
those are also the ones that are going to win the more franchisees that connect in at that more international level, if you will.
And again, you talk about emerging brands where I think they really have the benefit because your founders are far more available when you join an emerging brand. You actually get to talk, you know, last week we met with Preservin and Ty McBride, and like, you couldn't talk to the guy without his passion just being front and foremost. And I mean, it just exudes it. And so I think that's what's really great about some of these emerging brands is that you can connect on a very deep level. And while they may have already made a lot of the mistakes, I think most of them are very open to hearing your new thoughts on, hey, did you ever consider?
Right.
You know, and you can be part of that founders group, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah, more influence. So something's just not being driven down to you, but you actually have more influence.
Yeah,
and for
sure.
More opinions and to be able to connect into that as well.
Absolutely. Well, with that, we should really get on the road because we have someone fantastic waiting in the green room for us. And in just a moment, we'll bring on Jeff Gartner with Hudson Valley Swim.
Hey, franchise owners. How is your local marketing? Do you feel like you could use some help keeping up with your social media posts and comments and reviews? Do you wonder if you could be doing more to attract local customers? Are you able to identify new move-ins to your local area? At Westvine, we help franchisees like you reach more local customers through digital marketing. With daily monitoring, creative content, and ad placement, and customer data intelligence, we'll get your business in front of the people who want your products or services. We also work with franchisors who need an agency to handle the digital marketing for all of their locations. If you're ready to reach more local customers, give us a call at 805-265-5440 or visit us at westvine.com. That's 805-265-5440 or westvine with a Y.com.
Hey, Jeff Gartner with Hudson Valley Swim. Are we glad to see you today?
Thanks for having me, Kristen.
Welcome.
Absolutely. So listen, you know, we were so excited to have you on because you are one of those emerging brands, indeed, that Karen and I were just talking about on Word on the Street. Can you tell us a little bit about how Hudson Valley Swim came to be, kind of a little history and a bit about yourself?
Sure. Hudson Valley Swim has been around for about 20 years. It, basically, the concept started in my backyard. I used to have, so we're a swim school. We have a number of locations throughout the Hudson Valley in New York. And since we started franchising a year ago, we've grown into other states as well. But our background really was I would bring in a swim instructor to teach my kids how to swim, and we're in New York State, and so come August the pool shuts down and my kids really took to swimming. So what do I do with them? So I looked around for swim lessons, and I took a look at some of the local programs. I would say, you know, 15 miles away, and they really weren't very good. You know, there was a dozen kids in the pool. And, you know, I was used to having, you know, two, three, four kids, you know, the local neighborhood kids. And so the concept really started with that. And so I started looking around for a pool where we could run an operation year round and hire instructors and so forth and develop the whole program. And it's taken a little bit of time. We've been at it for 20 years. It didn't really happen out of the gate. We really took our time really learning the industry, worked, trying to streamline the operation and so forth. And that's really what we've been doing for 20 years. And as I said, you know, a year ago, we decided to franchise because one of the things that sort of happened in that 20 years was we went from running a business to a mission. It was, we really learned there was a big problem in this country, if not in this world, with drowning.
Okay.
And the statistics are alarming, and we sort of morphed from, hey, we need to, you know, run a business and make a lot of money to, hey, we really need to do something for our community, and ooh, here's another community we can work in. And that's really what grew our, inspired our expansion. And so, you know, when you look at, you know, statistics as far as drownings in the U.S., they're are literally 3,500 to 4,000 fatal drownings every year. Fatal drownings.
Wow.
Twice as many near fatal. And when we say near fatal, that doesn't mean, okay, you're all good.
Yeah.
That means, and very, very often there's physical ailments as a result, if not, you know, brain damage, respiratory
right.
issues, things like that. And so it's a big problem. And then when you look across certain demographics, it gets worse than others. You know,
sure.
you look in the African-American community, 65% of that community has no aquatic skills. So,
wow.
you know, it really, it's
alarming
that I can keep throwing stats at you and it would just knock you off your seat. And
yeah.
so that's really what's inspired this industry. And, you know, besides Hudson Valley Swim, there's a lot of good swim schools out there, you know, mom and pops all the way to some of the national brands. But,
yeah.
You know, we're all on the same mission.
So what makes you unique? You're offering unique, your kind of your concept, your model.
There's probably three different categories of swim schools. There's the ones that where you build a facility, you know, large investment,
yeah.
long time to market, high operational costs.
Mm-hmm.
There's the schools where that I'd say are kind of seasonal, where they're kind of coming to your house. They're
mm-hmm.
popping in. There's a lot of travel time. You know, they're not getting a lot of lessons. They're not addressing a large portion of the community by doing that. And then there's a few of us that use a pool rental model where we develop relationships with either local aquatic facilities, community centers, some of the national brands, fitness brands that have pools, guys like Fitness International that have the LA Fitness and the Esporta Fitness brands where they have typically pools in their fitness facilities. So we've developed relationships with these guys, and so we use that model. And
what
so,
a great
you
partnership.
Know,
yeah. I remember
it's
when
a
I,
great partnership.
Yeah, when I met you and I was like, wow, I mean, this has got to be a really heavy investment. And you're like, oh, no, you don't have to have a pool. And I'm like, okay, so how do you have a swim school without a school or without a pool? And you were like, well, we just rent them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even ever think of that. It's a great
idea. The thing about pools are they're severely underutilized.
Yeah.
You know, so you might join a fitness facility because it has all these amenities, including a pool. That might sell you on one versus another. You might go to a hotel because it has a gym, even if you never use it, and
yeah.
a pool, even though you never use it, if you're going there. Those
yeah,
pools
true.
Are rarely used.
Right.
A lot of the community centers, the pools are rarely used. And so that's really what we're targeting for rentals.
Well, so that really makes it a low barrier to entry financially for your group.
Yeah, so a low investment. There's basically low investment, low operating costs,
mm-hmm.
which improve your profit margin.
Right.
Also, your time to market. We can get you in 2.5 to 3 months. Up and running.
Wow. That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about, I mean, some people are going, wow, all of this stuff sounds super good, super cool, but you still have this training. Like, how do you get your aquatic staff, your lifeguards or your swim instructors?
So the first point I want to make is our owners are not your swim instructors. So you really don't need to know anything about aquatics
okay.
in order to run this business. We're really looking for people that are more mission oriented, community oriented, really want to do good for the community, and obviously put a little bit of cash in their pocket.
Yeah.
We help identify the senior swim instructor. Part of the initial franchise fee includes training that instructor on our program. Our program is unique. It's one we developed over time. And so they might be a very, very experienced instructor. We still have to teach them our language, our skills. We have a whole lesson plan for every level. They need to learn all that. Once they've you know, that, so that's now their lead instructor. They're more now responsible for training any additional instructors that you bring on. We also have a national aquatics director who is going to work with all of the swim instructors, the leads and not, on a monthly basis. And if not, you know, obviously any questions in between, but on a monthly basis to, you know, talk about different things that have happened in classes, how would they get around it, and sort of brainstorm on certain things. He's seen it all. He comes from a many, many years. In fact, it's one of those things you always hear about. You know, my dad was a police officer and his dad was a police officer. Well, he comes from an aquatics family, right? And, you know, so they've seen it all. He's as experienced as they come, and they do a lot of role playing and things like that, you know, in the course of the ongoing training.
Well, part of the low barrier to entry is, do I have to have an office or storefront? This can be home-based, right?
I'm running... We run ours from the house. One of the things that you do, so we have like a 4-point marketing program. And in the case where, and one of those is on-site marketing. And in the case where you're running out of fitness facility or even a community center where you have people that are coming and going, you want to market to those people. So that's, you know, an element of what you want to do. So you set up a table, you're there, you're shaking hands, kissing babies as you describe. So you want to kind of leverage the existing customer base, you know, to kind of bring them on. And that helps with the awareness. But in general, there's no office that you need anywhere.
So then I would think, you know, when you were talking about the role of the franchisee, they really do have to have those, I would think those, yes, it's the heart, the passion, and the people skills. Because if they're the ones that are out there, someone needs to be out there getting that relationship with the pool or the site, the location. Would that be a key responsibility for them?
Well, they obviously need to interact with, you know, whoever the operations manager is, with that pool and so forth. But more importantly, with the customers, with the parents. Yeah. Right. And one of the elements that differentiates us is our focus on customer service. So I always talk to candidates about the fact that years ago, you know, when you ran into a bad event, a bad customer service experience, you know, you're raising your hand, you're telling your friends, you're putting a bad review, you're doing all that. You know, fast forward to, you know, the last 5 years or so, you're used to it, right? Bad experiences, you just chuckle and you kind of move on. It's not worth your time. It's when you get that good experience is when, wow, what just happened?
Yeah.
Right? So we're looking for that wow. So we consider ourselves a premium brand, and it's about the overall soup to nuts experience. Our office staff is trained to, you know, give them a fantastic experience when they talk to them, when they register. Our swim instructors are the senior instructors. We don't hire, you know, the 1 or 2 years, the high school student, We're looking for senior instructors. We're a premium brand, and so we're looking for that experience. And so the parents, the kids are getting a premium experience. The parents are getting that, they're seeing it, they're interacting with the instructors, they're interacting with the staff the same way. They have any issues, they're trying to get registered, trying to get two kids registered on the same day. We'll move classes around to try to accommodate people the best that we can, you know? And so that's the full experience. I think there was a comment earlier about, you know, experience, the full experience. That's what we want to provide.
Absolutely. And I would think it would be a large word of mouth too. Referrals.
50%.
Right?
So So I mentioned the 4-point marketing program. All right. So digital marketing is an aspect. On-site marketing. We have a whole community-centric marketing program. And then we have the whole referral marketing program. And one of the things that we've learned over time is 50% of our business is driven by word of mouth.
Wow.
So when somebody registers online, how did you hear about us? And it's always half the time it's through somebody else.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, Karen, remember the mom squad, right? We would sit there on the bench at a baseball game or a hockey game and talk about, oh, we just came from swimming. And someone's like, oh, where do you take swimming lessons, right? And that's how it all gets started.
It's true.
Yeah. That is so cool. You mentioned a little bit about the customer service thing. I wanted to go back to that. Do you all, does individual owners handle their own scheduling and phone calls, or is that something that the franchisor, do you have a call center? How does that work for you?
It can't be handled through a call center. It's too complicated of a process for that. We experimented with that. So we're going to train them on how to, the two biggest things they need to do is scheduling and fitting people in.
Yeah.
And the other thing is understanding what level these people are, you know? So we have a whole decision tree. You know,
right.
That sounds more technical than it really is, but there's a set of questions that you ask to identify what class that is appropriate. And worst case, they're in the wrong class. Our instructors are trained to identify and raise the flag and basically say, hey, you're not a lionfish, you're a starfish. Go call the office. Or, hey, I have an opening in my starfish class at 6 o'clock. If you'd like to hang out and try that class next, we can do that, and then we can work on transferring you over there.
Well, you just took me back to my kids' swim lessons. And
I know.
I'll tell you, so as a parent who is a modest, mediocre swimmer, and my father does not swim, he had a close-to-drowning experience this last summer, I'll never forget the day that they took my youngest and threw him in a 10-foot pool, and I stood there panicked, thinking, what if he forgets? What if he doesn't know what he's doing? Like, I couldn't save him, right? And there's like 12 kids in the pool, and I'm just thinking, oh my gosh. But the swim lessons were really the best gift I could have given my kids.
So true.
Because they are really strong swimmers. They would have to save me before I could save them. And it really makes a world of difference. And when you talk about accessibility to different demographics and things, What are you doing to help reach out to those communities? I have to assume that it's an affordable, even though you're a premium brand, right? Everyone has to be able to afford swim lessons.
There's what's interesting is swim lessons are not really, people view it this way, and we have to educate them differently. It's not the same category as dance, you know, or gymnastics,
right,
or t-ball. You know, it's not sort of a sport where that it's kind of optional. It's
mm-hmm.
it's sort of filling their day. It's a mandatory skill.
Absolutely.
And so you have to educate people. Now, we do work with some organizations that have grants. We work with a lot of special needs organizations. Those are granted. Usually there's a self-directed budget for things like that. It's actually a big problem in the special needs community. The drowning percentage is very, very high, understandably. And and so that's, you know, that's what we kind of market to those types of things. I've never seen, like, we'll work with people if you know, they have two kids in there, we'll divide up, you know, their fees so that they make payments on it and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But really, price hasn't been an issue.
That's great.
Even at kind of the premium, the higher level, at the higher range, because one of the things, you know, we have small class sizes, so that's the other thing. You could pay less and go to a Y program, but you know, the Y program by us, the last I looked, they had 12 kids in a pool, you know, with a high school student, and so they're not getting any time, so they're, you know, you get what you pay for in a lot of ways. It's good that people are going. It's good that they have those programs. But if you want to excel, you know, you really need the smaller classes and the more experienced instructors.
I think that's awesome. We're going to take a quick break because we need to pay our bills. But I'd like to come back and talk about some of the stuff that's in your FDD. And for the people who are considering after this exciting discussion about your brand, kind of talk some more nuts and bolts about what it would take to get started and all the additional costs and things of that nature. So we'll be right back after this.
50 graduates, resulting in 7 new franchisees owning 8 franchise brands, more than a dozen skilled graduates who are employees of franchise companies, all of them having earned a concentration in franchising exclusively granted by the Titus Center at Palm Beach Atlantic University, plus more than 80 franchise professionals on our advisory board. The Titus Center for Franchising is on fire in West Palm Beach, Florida. What do you need to join us? My students want to hear from you. They may even want to buy your franchise or work for your company. TitusCenter.com.
First, being a board member for the Titus Center on the advisory board, I have to say that that is an amazing school, and they've turned out some great graduates, and they've got kids that graduate, and they're buying 2 franchises at a time. It's unbelievable, and they've got a selling boot camp, selling franchises boot camp coming up January 18th and 19th. So for anybody interested in that, just take a look at the Palm Beach Atlantic Titus
Center. Love the passion. Love the passion for franchising. And equipping people, and especially, you know, the younger generation, I think this is such a great opportunity.
Yeah, and they love internships. So I know you're kind of far from there, Jeff, but you know what? You've got students that probably live in New York that are going to Palm Beach Atlantic. So let's talk about that later and see if you can find somebody to help with your internship.
Well, we do have a location down in Boca.
That's close.
I saw that.
Very close.
Yeah. So we'll have to get you in touch with them. But in the meantime, let's talk a little bit. So I like the model. It sounds like you get to control your schedule a lot. Tell us about like the day in the life of a franchise owner.
So we run 6 sessions over the course of the year. So you figure seasons, all right? So a couple in the fall, a winter, a couple in the spring and the summer. And your registration period in advance of the start of a session, you know, begins anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks prior, depending on how mature your location is. And then once you get it, and then once you get started, you just continue registering in that session at least for another couple of weeks. And so you're more active managing the business for the first, you know, you're kind of in the marketing, registration, kind of enrollment, that kind of phase for a few weeks prior to the start. And then you're sort of on site, maybe helping to make sure everybody's situated properly, move people here and there if they need to make a change to a different level and so forth. And then you're kind of, then it kind of fades out. And you know, you don't have to be there every day. You can be there every day. The real successful candidates are there kissing babies every day, taking videos and so forth. But you have a pretty flexible schedule. You can be there on the busy days, you know, your weekends, especially Saturdays are usually pretty busy. After school, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. are very busy. You pop in and out. But for the most part, your instructors are kind of running the show. But, you know, It kind of varies in the amount of time that you put in.
Sure. I think that's awesome because I think I don't know about you, Karen, but being a mom, like it would be infectious for me to watch these kids grow.
Oh, yes.
I mean, if you have a kid in sports and they've continued through the years, you watch them grow in their skill sets, and it's just, it's something so cool about it. It would be really amazing.
My 4-year-old granddaughter's in swim lessons now, and I'm amazed, you know, because same thing, we're like, get the kids in early because they need to have these skills because you hear so many horror stories, right?
Yeah.
But to see them, how their little brains and just their, how they just take to this.
Yeah.
And learn things so much faster than we do. So
One of the biggest selling points in the summer is, you know, you take that 3- or 4-year-old and they go to a pool party at somebody's house over the summer. And, you know, you've got a dozen kids sitting there with swimmies on, and you've got another kid that's literally doing the backstroke. Right?
Yeah.
And you'll have cases like that. And everybody's going, wow, we want one of those. You know, where did you go? And then all of a sudden you get a call from, you know, a dozen families that say, hey, can I get my kids in lessons?
I have a follow-up question to the day in the life. You know, you talked about a lot of what they do on a regular basis. one of the things, and then you also mentioned the different relationships you have with, I think you mentioned one of the, it's not Lifetime, but it's one of the extra, the places that have swimming.
LA Fitness. Yep.
So is this also, let's say I buy a franchise, is it my responsibility to go and get all those relationships with the pool areas? And then how many?
No.
How many do you have, or what's that target?
So a couple things that make us unique is we will help you find a location. You're not on your own to do that.
Awesome.
And we also won't sell you a franchise unless we can find you a location. And so a number of the schools will say, you know, go pick your territory, you know, and now go find something. And, you know, you might not be able to find a fitness facility in that territory. The best you can do is this, you know, swamp. And, you know, I'm just, you know, obviously that's an extreme.
Right. No,
but,
yeah.
I mean,
that reminds me of my diving lessons.
Yeah, no, that's the truth.
At the rock quarry, you know, like 40 degrees water.
But we want you to be successful, and we want to operate on the up and up. And we've turned candidates away because we just couldn't find a suitable location. And you know, it is what it is. I'd rather you be happy and successful.
So let's talk a little bit about what are you looking for in terms of your initial fee and how much money does somebody have to have in net worth, all of that good stuff.
So obviously the initial investment is low. We're looking at a $39.5 franchise fee, which
nice.
Is on kind of the low end.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say initial your capital, you probably should have $60K liquid,
okay.
Net worth in the 250-ish range. So it's, you know, on the low end for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, for a single territory.
Right.
The investment range, when you start looking at the 3-month carrying costs, you know, assuming you've got no offsets for sales, which is not realistic, is probably in the 80 to 120 range.
Okay.
And that includes all the marketing spend. Actually, that includes marketing spend for 7 months.
Months. So that's built into
right.
there.
Yeah. And so realistically, you're actually making sales, and a lot of your costs are variable based on, you know, how many students you have. You know, you're obviously not paying payroll if you only have, you know, only teaching 2 days, you're not paying full time. So that's kind of unrealistic, but, you know, you have to put that in there because the government wants you in to put that in there, right? But,
so when do you foresee somebody, if they wanted to leave their corporate job and start a business like this, how long do you feel it takes them before they start to generate some income? Because that's always the thing, like, gosh, how long can I go?
Well, it generates some income. So far, all of our units have been profitable within the first few months.
Wow. Okay. That's great.
Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you're loading your pockets with cash, but
right.
At least you're not emptying your pockets.
Exactly,
right?
Which is a key thing.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, you know, that's, I really think the benefit of a lot of these brands that you don't have to have brick and mortar, that you don't have, like in my case, a fleet of cars, right? I mean, having those low costs, operational costs, are really a huge benefit. Are you finding any trouble with staffing these aquatic experts at this point in time at all?
No, not, you know, they're out there. You know, we're looking for somebody at least 3 to 5 years, hopefully more, but
mm-hmm.
they're out there. So far we've been able to identify it in every location. I'm adding 2 more corporate locations, in March. I already have staff. So I've already
wow.
found them. I've got 2 new territories opening. In Tampa and in Maryland. Tampa, we've already identified somebody. Actually, it's Brandon, Florida, which is around
okay,
Tampa.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then the one in Maryland, we just started looking. So hopefully
awesome.
We'll find somebody soon.
Awesome. Are there any states that you're not currently registered in or looking to grow?
Yeah, so we're kind of measured registrations. Obviously, okay. All the non-registration states we're in.
Yep.
There are a few states that we haven't registered for, so like Hawaii, Indiana, Kentucky, Nebraska. There's a few others in there, but we've got a good, healthy number that we're registered in.
Awesome. Well, the one thing that we talked about with Ty as well is one of the things my franchise consultant asked me when I looked at franchising, and she said, well, where do you want to live? And I'm like, well, I live in Chicago. She goes, yeah, I know, but you don't have to stay there. Where do you want to live? And I was like, oh, hey.
Never thought about that.
Exactly. And, you know, especially in a time like this where so many people are changing kind of their locations and their work styles and things, you know, maybe California, my gosh, has driven people out of there. Maybe somebody's sitting there in California thinking, you know, I would love to open my own business, but I just can't see me doing it here because of a lot of different reasons. And maybe they want to go to Phoenix. Maybe they want to go to, you know, New Mexico. I mean, those are great options for people who just want to get the heck out, you know?
Yeah. Now, what we try to do is register in states that we know we have inventory, pool inventory.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Interesting.
And so, you know, we went ahead and registered in California, and I know a lot of brands stay away from there initially because it's hard to get in. We got in. You know, we're a New York brand, and so that we got in. I think the most difficult state was Maryland, honestly.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, I can tell you horror stories there, but we're in, and we have a sale.
Good. Well, you have
but,
to be having your eye on Illinois.
Yeah,
we have our eye on Illinois.
Good.
But basically, it's where we have inventory, we'll register.
Okay, let's talk about territory size real quickly because I kind of got you off track a little bit. Territory size, how do you do it? What are you talking in terms of cost for a larger territory? Are you looking for multi-unit owners?
So we look at territory not in terms of mileage, you know, from a radius point or whatever. We look at number of children age 14 and under.
Okay.
All right. We look at that number because we feel, you know, from a percentage base, you know, you want a good addressable market. You figure half of them aren't even going to consider swim lessons in that market. And you want to be able to support competition.
Right.
And, you know, and competition's, you know, it's a good thing. All right.
Yeah,
because that helps awareness. And, you know, there's a reason why there's a gas station on that four corners on every corner, right?
That's true. That's true.
So we look at 40,000, and that's usually, you know, depending on how rural of an area you are, you know, 3 to 5 mile radius. And that's usually the extent of what people want to travel, lower in places like Florida, higher in places like New York, where you have higher. And I'm not talking New York City. I'm talking about, you know, more upstate where you've got, you know, larger acreage and so forth. People are used to driving 20 minutes to the grocery store.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, are there any last thoughts that you have for people who might be considering your brand today after hearing the interview with you?
Yeah. So the important thing is to know you don't have to be an aquatics person. In fact, you know, the Maryland owner that just signed, she is certainly not an aquatics person. She had a near fatal experience when she was a child, and this is why she picked our brand, right?
Awesome.
Honestly.
It's
and she's a great person. She's a newlywed. You know, I have no doubt she's going to be successful. She's got such a great attitude. And
So
I want to capture her story on video.
Sure.
Because it's heartwarming, really. But, you know, We're looking for people that just want to run a business, that want to, you know, you can work your job and have this sort of building as your exit strategy. and which I think is a good model. You know, I do like owner operators. It can be semi-passive. You can put a manager in place. I would prefer you be an owner-operator for a while, so you at least know the business, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen with your manager.
I think everybody is thanking you for coming up with a brand and a model that actually saves lives and makes a big difference in their families. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to talking to you in the next year or so and see just how many units you all are able to open and hear some of the great success stories that you've had.
We're up to 6, so we're ahead of the game.
I love
awesome,
it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time on the show today. I can't wait to speak with you again. And if anybody is looking to get in touch with Jeff, we'll obviously have all of his contact information in the credits of the show. You can always go back and check that out again. And just remember, this is a great low barrier of entry, semi-passive, and some impressive financials for you to look at here at Hudson Valley Swim. Jeff, thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate your time and look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks so much for having me, Kristen and Karen.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the conversation. I hope to speak to you, and I look forward to speaking to anybody that's interested in our brand.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Looking forward to hearing your success.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
What are the top 3 reasons that you should tune in to Pillars of Franchising? 1, franchise advice from $1 million mentoring team. And 2, how about interviews from franchise professionals and influencers? And 3, how about getting some professional tips on buying, growing, and exiting your franchise? Join us on Pillars of Franchising to learn about the secrets of franchising success. You can find us at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, wherever you listen to your podcast. Yes, we have to remake that video, Jerry.
I do not want you to remake it. That just really makes my day when we do the show and I get to see the very exotic and overwhelming you that you hide from us all the time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's me. Enough about me, Jerry. How about you?
I'd rather talk about you. Things are good. Life continues to move forward. Franchising is amazing. And, Karen just shared 15,000 new units in the last year in franchising. That is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and the number of jobs that creates is, you know, it always makes me even more passionate about the franchising model because so many people want to get into business for themselves. They just don't know where to start. That was me, you know, and now I'm like, oh my gosh, this was the best decision I ever could have made.
Well, and, you know, that drives me to help educate people about franchising. So some of the issues in Washington, D.C. that lead to more regulations and so on that impact our businesses, we don't have as many of those because, frankly, those people just don't understand franchising. They're mimicking regulations based on, you know, other people's opinions instead of direct information. So we're going to keep beating the drum. But, you know, you touched on it. You can't get to 15,000 units without scaling.
That's right.
You can't do it by people buying one unit to test the waters to see how it's going to work. So for franchising to continue to lead the country in job creation and revenue and profit, and all the other things that we tend to lead in, we need scaling. So I start this because I'm actually developing a couple of classes right now on scaling for different groups that I'm working with. And I always start it with generally when a franchisee first gets into franchising, they can't see beyond their first unit. They have no idea and may have no interest in a second unit or a third unit. They literally want to dip their toe in the water and see what happens.
Right.
So I have to keep preaching this, but the bottom line is, and my wife says this better than I do, you know, when we went from one unit to two units, we didn't double the number of hours we worked. When we went to two to eight or whatever the next step was, we were still putting in the same or less hours than we did with one.
And do you think that's, Jerry, because the systems are already defined for you? So you have one system and you're just basically watching multiple results? Like, how would you describe that to somebody? Because I agree with you. It's, I mean, I wasn't ready when I bought my second territory, if you were to ask me if I were ready, but I did it because opportunity knocked. And you're right, with every acquisition, there's maybe a week that we have a little bit of a transition with staffing. We're staffed ahead, but you still have that, you know, the little bumps to work out. And then it's just like another day. So what do you attribute that to?
Yeah, you know, that was actually my second point I was going to bring up. The first point I'll point out real quick and then move on to your question is, are you prepared? Because really it comes down to, will you be able to handle going to that next step of having a,
yeah.
And it's not work. It shouldn't be much more stress other than that transition time that you spoke of. So, but are you prepared for it? But, you know, your point, it is about the infrastructure. It is about you knowing the system. So you're working less hard than you did on the first one because you know what you're doing. And let's face it, if you're doing your own payroll, which some people do when they're at one or two units, adding a few more people to the payroll system doesn't take much more time.
Yep.
It's just baked in. You just put the information in and, you know, boil it out. So most of it is the systems that are in place, a good franchisor that supports you, and frankly, you just knowing what you're doing by that point in time.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk a little bit about scalability, because obviously you have now, what, 36 Great Clips, and you're, I don't know how many joint chiropractics now.
Five.
Do you think that if somebody were to look to buy today, should they look at a multi-unit deal, or should they go one unit in one brand and then consider down the road a second brand?
Yeah, you know, I can go both ways on that, Kristen. Just to be honest with you, I think it comes down to the individual and what their thoughts are about moving forward and so on. Many times the benefit of buying a multi-unit option is it's a little less expensive. And as long as you've got a long enough development period, 2 or 3 year development period, you know, you probably are better off going that route if you have interest in scaling. If you're unsure or you want to see what it looks like before you dive in, then just buy one. I've had too many people come to me that bought 3 packs or 4 packs or something like that, and they're a year or two into it, and it's not what they thought it was going to be. They left excitement and optimism drive them to buy multiples. And now they're wondering what to do because you are on a development plan and it's kind of a use it or lose it thing and you don't get your money back.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful and know where you're coming from. I personally like the multi-packs, but you got to be committed and ready to go. And another thing you got to think about, guys, when you're looking at whether it's multi-packs or when you get to the point where you want to scale,
mm-hmm.
borrowing capacity is huge because not just the money to get in, the upfront money to buy the license and to even build out a unit, but you got to have cash flow monies for a period of time too.
Sure.
And so many don't have that and they get over enthused and get in a deep hole and then they can't develop fast enough and they literally will lose some of their license options if they're not careful.
Well, and that's a good point, you know, because in 2023, as Karen and I were talking earlier, you know, some of the challenges for those folks is building costs skyrocketed, right?
Yeah.
Money became way more expensive. And so really, you have to be very strategic. I do know there have been franchisors who have made addendums to those expansion plans because of some of the circumstances, but they're not required to do that.
No, they're not. And everyone's different. So you just don't know what a franchisor is going to do. You might hear the story from a friend in a different brand that got it, but yours may not have any interest in it. And, you know, you and I have spoken. My thoughts about interest on the money that you're borrowing is basically that's a tax write-off. As long as you can make your nut and you can pay your bills every month, I would not lose 2 or 3 years of development opportunities for the extra interest right now. I know it's painful. Nobody likes borrowing money at high interest, but if you can manage it and you use your write-offs in the right way, I think you're still okay. Construction costs, a little bit of a different thing, but still the same. You know, construction costs likely are not going to come down much. So,
okay.
You know, if you're going to build if you're thinking, well, I'll just wait a year or two, it may not change at all. So I would not lose the opportunity if you're going to really consider it to just go ahead and move forward. Now, for our listeners, because we got to go here in a minute, I'm developing a whole class on this. It's going to be available in about a month or so. Pillars can certainly get the information out. If you want to know more about it, contact Pillars and I can get you that kind of information. Or go to the IFA convention, because I'm actually performing the class for the first time at the IFA convention in February.
Yep.
And I would love to have you attend my class. So look it up online, come join us, sit through the class. There'll be a lot of benefits for it.
Thank you so much, Gary. As always, we appreciate your wisdom and contributions. And we'll be right back after this. And here we are. Just want to thank everybody for joining us today. If you're interested in pursuing franchise ownership, whether it be of Hudson Valley Swim or any other franchise brand, please visit our website at pillarsoffranchising.com, where there's a handy form that'll pop up. You can let us know what it is that you're looking for. We'll be happy to help consult with you to find the brand that best fits your needs, lifestyle, and budget. At this time, I'd like to thank all of our contributors to the show today, Jerry Akers and Karen Timothy Sword, Fred McMurray for all of our production, and of course, the others that continue to support our show along the way. I'd like to thank Ray Tiller for being one of our founding members who's just recently joined the board. We hope you all have a great week, and if you're looking for some franchising success, be sure to turn in next week on Pillars of Franchising at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, here on YouTube, pillarsoffranchising.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're looking forward to chatting with you soon. Have a great week.